Hi, this is Clifford Brown, and this is the audio portion of my PowerPoint presentation about the Archaeological Resources Protection Act of 1979, which we normally call ARPA, A-R-P-A. But remember that the name actually stands for the Archaeological Resources Protection Act of 1979. ARPA was passed as a result of some very severe incidents of looting at archaeological sites that got a lot of press. As a result, Congress wrote this law, which says in the preamble, Congress finds that archaeological resources on public lands and Indian lands are an accessible and irreplaceable part of the nation's heritage. These resources are increasingly endangered because of their commercial attractiveness. Existing federal laws do not provide adequate protection to prevent the loss and destruction of these archaeological resources. And therefore, I'm skipping ahead, the purpose of this act is to secure, for the present and future benefit of the American people, the protection of archaeological resources and sites which are on public lands and Indian lands, and to foster increased cooperation and exchange of information between governmental authorities, the professional archaeological community, and private individuals having collections of archaeological resources and data which were obtained before October 31, 1979, the date of the enactment of this act. Basically, the law prohibits the unauthorized excavation or looting of archaeological sites on federal lands and Indian lands. It defines archaeological resources as stuff that's at least 100 years old, which is interesting because it differs, as you already know, from the definition of what would likely be a historic property under the National Historic Preservation Act. As you'll recall, historic properties as defined, properties eligible for the National Register of Historic Places have to be normally at least 50 years old. And so you can have archaeological sites that are eligible for the National Register because they're more than 50 years old, but are not protected as archaeological resources under ARPA. There are punishments for looting that are defined in various regulations issued under the authority of the Archaeological Resources Protection Act. It can be a misdemeanor or a felony. There are extensive fines, which typically include the cost of restoring the archaeological site. The cost of restoring archaeological sites is very, very high, and it requires specialized training to be able to determine how that would be done or should be done, and what the cost would be. So the federal government, including both archaeologists and federal law enforcement officers, can undergo ARPA training so that they not only know how to enforce the law, but they can also do things like calculate what the fines should be. So the fines can be pretty extensive, and half the fines can be given to whistleblowers or snitches or whatever you want to call people who report the violation. In addition to the regular text of the act, the law provides for the issuance of regulations that explain in greater detail how this stuff works. In general, the regulations are at Title 32, Part 229, of the Code of Federal Regulations. There are uniform regulations that cover a number of different government agencies or departments there. There are also some other regulations floating around. I think, for example, the sentencing guidelines fall under a different part of the Code of Federal Regulations, but you don't really need to worry about that. So the law provides protection for archaeological resources by making it a crime to excavate on federal or Indian lands without a permit, and you can go to jail for it if you don't get the permit. Naturally enough, the law also provides specifically for the permitting, for issuing permits for bona fide appropriate, legitimate excavations. This is important for you to know, and you should know about the permit requirements for an ARPA permit, because whenever you do work on federal land, if you're doing anything archaeological or touching an archaeological site, you need an ARPA permit. Even if you're doing an archaeological survey, in order to comply with the National Historic Preservation Act, you still need to get an ARPA permit. Now, you may say to yourself, well, what about, how do these permits relate to Antiquity Act permits, which are issued under the terms of a relatively similar law? And in fact, they're kind of complementary in the sense that the law provides that Antiquities Act permits that were issued prior to the enactment of ARPA remain valid, and you don't need an ARPA permit for that. But of course, those permits have all expired back in the 70s, probably, or the early 80s. And if you get an ARPA permit, that supersedes or cancels the requirement for an Antiquities Act permit. So in that sense, the Archaeological Resources Protection Act explicitly supersedes the Antiquities Act. So you don't need both permits. You only need an ARPA permit these days. There is an exception to the permit requirement for Indian tribes or Indians when they're working on their own land. And so they don't need to get an ARPA permit to do something on their own land. That is, provided that the Indian tribe has some kind of regulatory mechanism to ensure that people aren't looting. So ARPA has sort of a coordination provision with the Antiquities Act. It also has a coordination provision for the National Historic Preservation Act. So if you get an ARPA permit, you do not need to comply with the National Historic Preservation Act. ARPA, the getting the ARPA permit takes care of that. ARPA also makes it illegal to traffic in artifacts that come from federal land. So you can't transport them, buy them, sell them, exchange them, receive them, advertise them for sale, or anything else if they were obtained in violation of ARPA. And people get in trouble for that as well. I should say that there have been some serious ARPA cases that have been prosecuted over the years. You know, for some years in some states or in some jurisdictions, people kind of, I guess, either the state attorneys or the federal attorneys or law enforcement just didn't do anything about enforcing ARPA. But in more recent years, in the last 10 or 20 years, there have been some notable ARPA cases that have been prosecuted, and people have gone to jail for significant periods of time and had to pay significant fines. And also, you know, you can also lose, you know, whatever car or truck or backhoe or equipment you're using to violate ARPA. Those can all be confiscated, just like in drug cases when the government seizes the vehicles being used. And so that's a pretty strong deterrent, provided the law is actually applied and people are prosecuted when they violate it. And that seems to be happening more and more. Just a couple of other points. Like the Antiquities Act, ARPA requires that the archaeological stuff that is recovered from federal land be curated appropriately in appropriate repositories and institutions and be made available for study. So now we have at least three laws that we've reviewed that require curation of federal archaeological materials. So which are they, right? The Antiquities Act, the National Historic Preservation Act, and the Archaeological Resources Protection Act. ARPA also provides an exemption from the Freedom of Information Act to protect information about sites. So any information about sites that, if released, could contribute to to damage or destruction of the site is protected. It makes that information confidential, and it exempts it from the Freedom of Information Act. So in summary, this act is important because as a practicing professional archaeologist, at some time or another, you're very likely to need to get an ARPA permit. You know, so, you know, if you're working on a survey that is designed to comply with the National Historic Preservation Act because something's going on and you need to do a survey or an excavation on federal land, you need to get an ARPA permit. You know, the fact that you're complying with the National Historic Preservation Act does not exempt you from the necessity to get an ARPA permit. In addition, research projects take place on federal land as well. Now, if you have an ARPA permit, for the purposes of getting the ARPA permit, you don't have to comply with the National Historic Preservation Act, right? Normally, when a license or a permit is issued, you have to go through the Section 106 process that is outlined in the National Historic Preservation Act regulations. But you don't have to do that if the permit you're getting is an ARPA permit, because it's kind of redundant or contradictory. One final note, which is actually not directly related to ARPA, but some years ago the Navy realized, I think because either the Judge Advocate General's office told them or they lost a case in federal court, that they could not require people to get ARPA permits before they excavated shipwrecks, particularly Navy shipwrecks. Because the way the definitions work, you know, the archaeological site has to be in the ground or something like that. And they determined, the lawyers determined, that sunken Navy ships did not meet the definition of archaeological resources as it's laid out in the Archaeological Resources Protection Act. Therefore, the Navy issued a separate regulation that covers getting archaeological permits for the archaeological investigation of lost government vessels. And as you can see on the slide you're looking at, that regulation, which is designed to parallel the ARPA regulations pretty closely. I was actually involved in writing it. It's designed, although it doesn't, they didn't take all of my advice, and so I think that it's a little bit flawed, but basically there is this regulation that specifies how you apply for and receive a permit to excavate for a bona fide, legitimate excavation of a lost government vessel. And that's at 32 CFR Part 767. Oh, I know I've said this three times, but one final point. The ARPA provides or requires that the Secretary of the Interior report to Congress on federal archaeological activities. The requirement is for one report for each Congress. And as I'm sure you'll remember, each Congress lasts for 2 years because there are congressional elections every 2 years. And so the Secretary of the Interior collects information from all federal agencies and compiles it into the so-called Federal Archaeological Report. And this is issued every 2 years, and there are copies of more recent ones on the web, and the underlying data on which they're based is also available in Excel tables. The data is not terribly reliable and therefore probably shouldn't be studied too closely with statistics or something like that, just because the basic data is not very carefully collected by some agencies. So at any rate, ARPA is designed to protect archaeological sites. It prohibits unauthorized excavations. It provides a mechanism for permitting of authorized archaeological excavations. It provides for curation or requires curation of archaeological materials. It creates an exemption from FOIA for site information that might, cause sites to be damaged. And it provides for the Secretary of the Interior to report to Congress on federal archaeological activities every 2 years. And we're done.